You are listening to a sermon by Dr. J. Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, February 17, 2019, at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
17 days from now, Christians from around the world will be participating in Ash Wednesday services. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, that time in the liturgical church calendar in which millions of Christians, but not all, will be making spiritual preparations for the greatest feast of the church year, Easter. Now, traditionally, we Mennonites have ignored Lenten practices, especially anything involving mortifying the flesh, such as fasting. In fact, I point to March 9, 1522, as the real beginning of the Swiss Reformation in Zurich, from which Anabaptists have descended. On that Thursday in Lent, Zwingli met publicly with a parishioner and some workers to eat, and they specified that it was year-old smoked sausages. The next Sunday, Zwingli then preached a sermon. It was a rebellious act on his part by preaching that if the church requires us to fast, that does not mean it is biblical. This is now known to historians as the affair of the sausages. And several years ago, Edward Rushton wrote a cantata on this, and he called it Geistenwurst, hence my title. Although our Swiss Anabaptist spiritual ancestors joined this revolt by breaking their Lenten fast long ago, some of today's Mennonites have had second thoughts, particularly as we develop interest in talking with and even worshiping with Christians from other denominations. The periodical, The Mennonite, is right now running a survey asking its readers to say what they are giving up for Lent. All of this has intrigued me, so I decided to begin thinking about Lent and even to think about whether I should fast or abstain in some purposeful way, rather than just find myself once again in Lent and making up jokes about giving up Lent for Lent. Your 6-page handout, and my thanks to Andre for duplicating it, will now be going through this, so you can turn to page 1. This gives a number of biblical references to fasting, so let's look at a few of these passages to see when and why people fasted in biblical times. The first passage comes from Isaiah 58, words which we heard read this morning. Isaiah reports that his countrymen were complaining, saying to Yahweh, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" They're saying, like, what's the point? Isaiah's analysis of the situation will be echoed by many prophets in the centuries to come when he says in verse 6, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house?" Now, that's a hard one. I've never done that. "When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin when they're in need." Isaiah's point is that fasting in and by itself accomplishes nothing unless it is accompanied by godly living and ethics. Sometimes people fasted in the hope that their fasting would, along with their prayers, somehow get God's attention and possibly even change God's mind, or at least somehow improve their situation in life. This idea is seen in the second chapter of Joel in your handout, verse 12. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, and I like the King James, and not your garments, or not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. And verse 14 is the kicker. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent? Hey, why not give it a try? It might work. In 1 Kings chapter 21, we read that even King Ahab, arguably the worst king of them all, even Ahab fasted, hoping to get God to have a change of heart. And I'm sorry to say it worked. The story in 1 Samuel 7 tells of many people fasting together. And I think of this as corporate fasting rather than individual fasting. And their one-day fast was a visible act of repentance, of turning away from their sinful ways. And once again, they were worshiping foreign gods. The story in 2 Samuel chapter 1 tells of King David and David's soldiers, and they undertook fasting as part of a mourning process when they learned that Jonathan had been killed. So fasting was repeatedly an important part of the mourning process in the Hebrew Scriptures. I have seen some bereaved spouses be unable to eat a full proper meal until after 3 days when the funeral was held and the loved one's body was committed to the earth. And only then could they go into the church and eat with family and with church family and be able to face food. It's very real. The story in 2 Samuel 12 shows David fasting while pleading with God for the life of his son, that innocent child born to Uriah's wife as the result of David having raped her. David fasted until the child died, but as soon as he heard that the child was dead, King David stopped fasting. There was no more reason for him to fast. His fasting and prayers and supplications had been denied. David had hoped that his fasting might, as he thought of it, change God's mind. He probably even hoped that that son would somehow be his royal successor. In Exodus 34, we learn that Moses prepared himself by fasting, and we just sang about that in the glory of these 40 days. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. It's a fast I would not advise. You'll die. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And as is well known, this is the first example we have of someone downloading something from the cloud to the tablet. Other stories about fasting can be found in Ezra, Nehemiah, Jonah, Esther, Psalms, and Daniel, all repeating themes that we have heard before. Fasting as a sign of repentance, as an act of mourning, as maybe even in the hope of changing a bad life situation or preparing yourself for a spiritual undertaking. Now I want to turn to a few examples in the New Testament. So we'll go ahead to the passage we just heard read from Matthew 4 on page 3. The story in Matthew 4, and it's recorded elsewhere, is the classic story of Jesus fasting in the wilderness, or in the mountains, 40 days and 40 nights. The story is intended to be a direct parallel with the Moses story, symbolically so. The writer mentions days and nights because certain Jewish fasts were observed only during the day, but people broke the fast after sunset, as is still true in Ramadan. In Matthew 6, which we also heard read this morning, Jesus advises that if and when we fast, we do so privately and not boast about it, not demonstrate to others that we are fasting. And then the two stories in Acts 13 and Acts 14, both of these stories tell of early church leaders fasting and praying before appointing individuals to leadership roles in the church. I think I've never seen people fast for this reason. From these passages and other passages, we learn that biblical individuals fasted while mourning, while repenting, in the hope that fasting would demonstrate to God the seriousness of their repentance. And I think also fasting would make a real impression on the person undertaking it and would make them think about their repentance in a more serious way. They would fast while praying that things might change in their life, when dedicating individuals to church work, or in preparation for a significant spiritual undertaking. So, 17 days from now, what should I do as I enter Lent? Was Zwingli correct? Or is fasting and abstaining from meat or whatever still appropriate? If appropriate, for how long? What kind of fasting? What kind of abstaining? And most importantly, why? Turn to page 4. Mennonites give very few guidelines on fasting, so I have to look at other denominations for help in this matter. I want you to look, first of all, at what, toward the bottom of page 4, what the Archdiocese of Vancouver has issued some, I consider them very simple guidelines. So our Catholic friends in Vancouver are under these guidelines. The underlining is all mine throughout the handout. I'll read from this, especially for those who are listening on the web. The Church prescribes fasting, and then it describes what fasting is. Fasting, to Catholics at this point, consists of one full meal a day, plus two other meals, smaller meals, and those two small meals do not exceed one full meal. So in other words, you have two full meals spread over three, is what it amounts to. I'm not sure how you do that, but it's a good theory. So the Church prescribes fasting and abstinence from meat on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and that's it. And then toward the end, the Ordo specifies that all Fridays are special days of abstinence, meaning meat, and this includes Fridays of Lent. Although Catholics can substitute special acts of charity or piety on these days. So I was surprised by how minimal these guidelines are. This is something I could almost do. And I was surprised to learn that special acts of charity or piety can replace abstaining from meat on Fridays and even Ash Wednesday. In my opinion, even though giving up coffee or chocolate might be wise, it would seem neither to count to Catholics as fasting nor as officially approved type of abstinence. And I don't we'd have to struggle to consider it an act of charity or piety. My Greek Orthodox friends, and I don't have many, but I have several, are expected to follow far more stringent guidelines than our Catholics. Practices which certainly get my attention. Orthodox Christians keep fast and abstain for each of the 40 days of Lent, not just Good Friday and Ash Wednesday, as well as for each of the days during the 4 weeks of Advent. Also for a full week during the Feast of the Apostles, whenever that is, and for the weeks leading up to the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and for 2 weeks during the Dormition Feast in early August. Add to those fasts every single Wednesday of the year and every single Friday of the year, and the list becomes downright discouraging. One Orthodox website did admit that almost nobody follows these guidelines. And that's why I think the Catholic guidelines are so lenient, the way I think about them. People have a chance of following that. It may work. Even though the more strict, almost monastic guidelines for orthodoxy is quite something. I won't even go into the marital fast that is recommended for Orthodox. No sex during Advent or Lent. So if you know somebody with a birthday in December, you know that a certain fast was not being kept. So, if a modern-day Protestant decides to fast or abstain during Lent, what would be the purpose? It seems that the purpose is up to me, and this is not very helpful. Being hungry, or giving up something to eat, or giving up something to do, could become a stimulus, which might remind me to pray for someone or to pray for something or to work for some change in my lifestyle or, better yet, in my personality. Forgoing meat, fish, cheese, eggs, that's no big deal for my vegan son and my two vegan brothers, but it would change our meal plans. Fasting or abstaining could also remind me that, in a sense, I am part of a larger church. It could remind me more vividly that I am in a church calendar, in a church year, and that it has times of intense focusing on repentance, which is a theme I conveniently overlook. My church does not pressure me either to fast or to abstain from anything during Lent. And by giving this talk, I am not asking anyone here to fast or abstain. Believe it or not, I like to think I'm not even suggesting that you fast or abstain. I do not want anyone here to feel guilty if you decide not to fast or abstain. I don't want you to feel guilty if you forget about Lent altogether. I simply got started on this quest by the singing of this fasting hymn, which we sang this morning, The Glory of These 40 Days. We would sing it several times during Abendmusik, Lenten Vespers, and it hit me most when I sang it with the choir at Christ Church Cathedral the other year. And when we got to the fourth verse, I thought, what a hypocrite I'd be, because it was Lent and I hadn't even thought about fasting or abstaining from anything. And there I was singing about it. Since I have been contemplating what options I have 17 days from now when it's Ash Wednesday, I thought it might be useful to share my thinking, some of my questions with you, and look forward to learning from you during our discussion time. After all, each of us is a spiritual descendant of someone who used to fast and abstain during Lent, especially before the Reformation. And each of us is a spiritual descendant of those who ate smoked sausages in Zurich on March 9, 1522.